On the last episode of The Sword of Deliverance, a two-part 10-10 Thrive special in our series, Jesus in Every Book in the Bible. The children of Israel had forsaken the commandments given to them by God. Yahweh withdrew his protection and the people were conquered and subjugated by the king of Moab.
I'm Eglon, first of my name, commander of the Lion Militia. I have been appointed by Chemosh himself to be lord and protector of this great land.
Some of the people remained faithful to Yahweh and cried out for deliverance. Some took comfort in the hope that God would raise up a champion on their behalf.
A young Israelite boy from the tribe of Benjamin will rise. He will become a courageous warrior, an instrument of liberation.
And from the tribe of Benjamin, the Spirit of God came upon a young man named Ehud. As Ehud grew older, he developed a keen interest in the art of warfare and the skill of the sword. He sought out the knowledge of seasoned warriors and trained diligently in the ways of combat.
Young man, I do not know if I can help you. I see that you are left-handed. All our combat techniques, weapons, and training methods were developed with the right-handed. I must think on this.
The right hand is associated with strength, skill, and blessing. The left hand is less capable and less favored. It is not my opinion that I speak. It is the way Elohim ordained it.
Despite the discouragement, Ehud worked twice as hard as any other fighter. And despite the seeming disadvantage of being left-handed, proved himself to be far superior to even those who were teaching him.
I must give it to you. You are certainly determined.
I am but a humble servant. I train not to bring myself glory, but so that I may be used by the Lord. I know that if I am properly prepared and submitted to Elohim, he will empower me to prevail over my enemies. For thus says the words of the law, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory.
Ehud's exceptional courage and skill with the sword were not merely a result of physical training, but also a manifestation of the indwelling Spirit of God. He cultivated a close relationship with God through prayer, seeking his guidance and strength in the face of adversity. It was through this intimate connection with the Almighty that Ehud drew his unwavering courage and unwavering faith.
Are you not concerned about the disadvantage posed by your left-handedness?
It was our father, Moses, who said, "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath, which he swore to your fathers. Elohim can take the weak things of this world, and make them strong."
As Ehud continued to train, the Moabite king, Eglon, became increasingly complacent.
My spies tell me that there is a man from the tribe of Benjamin who is being hailed as a champion. They say he is a man who is willing to challenge you on the battlefield. I do not know his name. Shall I send our troops into Benjamin to root him out?
Ashmanaz, my trusted advisor, you worry too much. Is not Benjamin the run of all the tribes of Israel? What have we to fear from the least of their people? Now, is it not time for us to receive the tribute bearers for the harvest festival?
Elohim, thank you for preparing me for this moment. Guide me in my quest to rid your people of this Moabite. Search my heart for all that is displeasing to you and purify me, I pray. And give me the courage and strength to do what needs to be done. And if I perish, I perish.
Ehud disguised himself as a tribute bearer, carrying a tribute from the Israelites to present to the king. He carefully concealed a small, double-edged sword on his right thigh. It was a weapon that he fashioned himself. He intended to use it to kill the man who had oppressed the children of Israel for almost 20 years. The sword was overlooked because the guards expected armed assailants to be right-handed and to carry their weapons on their left side. With the tribute in hand, Ehud made his way to the palace. The courtiers and sentries, unaware of Ehud's true intentions, allowed him to enter the palace, believing he was merely an envoy from the Israelites. At the entrance to the king's chambers, Ehud was stopped by the king's chief advisor.
Who are you?
I am a tribute bearer, sent from Jericho, to bring gifts and a message to the king.
You can leave it out here with me.
I am under strict orders to deliver this personally to the great king. May he live forever.
You are an Israelite mongrel. Why would you imagine that I would admit you into the presence of the Almighty King?
Ashmanass, let the Israelite in. I will grant him an audience.
But your highness...
Hush, hush. I am the king. I have spoken. Come on in, come on in.
Ehud was ushered into the king's private chambers. Eglon turned his back on the Israelite and, in so doing, was unaware that Ehud had locked the entrance to the room.
Now Israelite, what is my gift? Out with it. Why are you looking at me like that? Why are you grinning like one of those loathsome cats?
Eglon, commander of the Lion Militia, I have a message for you. You have been tried by the God of Israel and found wanting. Thus says the word of the Lord. Rejoice with him, O heavens, bow down to him, all gods, for he avenges the blood of his children, and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land.
Boy, what are you saying? Do you think you can strike me with your puny hands and that would have any effect? I will crush you like a bug.
With lightning speed, Ehud drew the concealed sword from his thigh and plunged it into the belly of King Eglon. The force of the blow was so great that the sword disappeared into the king's immense girth, causing the Moabite leader to gasp in shock and pain. Ehud's strike was fatal, and the king collapsed to the floor, his life slipping away. Meanwhile, the guard stationed outside the chamber had no idea of the chaos unfolding within. They assumed Ehud was conferring with the king, unaware that their ruler lay dead on the ground. With the element of surprise on his side, Ehud sprang into action. He barricaded the doors of the chamber, preventing anyone from entering. He then escaped through a porch opening, climbing down the side of a tower and spiriting away from the palace grounds unnoticed. By the time the guards had discovered the dead body of King Eglon, Ehud had organized troops that marched against the people of Moab. More than 10,000 pagan soldiers fell at the hands of the Lord's army that day. Under God's guidance, Israel drove out the Moabites from their land. Ehud became their judge. And thus began 80 years of peace, the longest period of peace for Israel, during the era of the judges. Ehud cleverly fashioned a small sword and hid it in his right thigh. He also walked into the center of Moabite power, not only into the palace, but into Eglon's very chambers, showing the willingness to sacrifice himself for his people. Through his extraordinary act of bravery and cunning, Ehud serves as a remarkable foreshadowing of the ultimate deliverer, Jesus. Just as God raised up Ehud to deliver the Israelites from their oppressors, Jesus was divinely appointed as the chosen deliverer for all humanity. Ehud's selection by God reflects the sovereignty and purpose behind God's plan of salvation. Ehud's physical disability, being left-handed, was seemingly a disadvantage. However, it became his secret weapon against the enemy. Similarly, Jesus, in his humanity, appeared unremarkable and ordinary, yet he possessed divine strength and power that triumphed over sin and death. Ehud's daring act of assassinating King Eglon parallels Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Ehud risked his life to bring freedom to his people, just as Jesus willingly laid down his life to bring eternal freedom and forgiveness to all who believe in him. Ehud's striking of Eglon with a double-edged sword brought forth a decisive victory through the shedding of blood. Likewise, Jesus shed blood on the cross as the means by which our sins are forgiven and our deliverance is secured. Through his sacrifice, we are set free from the bondage of sin and reconciled to God. Ehud's mission took the enemy by surprise. In a similar manner, Jesus' arrival as the long-awaited Messiah surprised many. His humble birth in Bethlehem and his unconventional methods of teaching and healing confounded the expectations of the people. Yet, through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus accomplished the ultimate deliverance for all who believe in him. The story of Ehud provides us with a glimpse of God's ultimate plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. Just as Ehud delivered Israel from their oppressors, Jesus delivers us from the power of sin and offers us eternal life. As we reflect on Ehud's bravery, let us also reflect on the unmatched courage and love displayed by our Savior, who willingly laid down his life for us. May we embrace his deliverance and live in the freedom he has secured for us. Father, we thank you for the foreshadowing of Christ's redemptive work through the story of Ehud. Help us to grasp the depth of your love and the significance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. May we find our deliverance and freedom in Him alone. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.